Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. This past weekend, after more than 6 years of renovations, the Harvard Art Museums reopened.
This has been much more than a building project. In reality, we've taken everything apart here, physically, structurally, operationally, even conceptually, and put it back together again. And what we like.
This is Thomas Lentz, director of the Harvard Art Museums. He recently took us on a tour, starting in the Calderwood Courtyard. Lentz calls this the newly transformed heart of the Harvard Art Museums. It's a stunning, light-drenched courtyard. It has the feel of an open piazza, which is fitting, given that the well-known Italian architect Renzo Piano designed it.
This was originally, I hope I don't offend anyone when I say this, but it was actually a kind of gloomy cul-de-sac. And what it's been transformed into is a light-filled space that we think is much more open, transparent, accessible, and dynamic.
I'd love it if you could sort of help me describe it, because there's a kind of classical arcade around the lower level, but then there's this soaring glass and steel Renzo Piano thing that soars up into the sky.
It's actually, that's a pretty good description right there. The bottom two courses are a travertine Italianate facade, and Renzo Piano essentially vertically expanded the courtyard. And what we like now is whether you're standing like we are here in the courtyard, or up at the mid-level, or up at the top, you now have cross-cutting views through the program that were never visible before. And in fact, I can remember early on in the project standing here in this courtyard with Renzo Piano and listening to him say, "You have such great collections, you do such important work here. Why is it all hidden away? Why is it that nobody can see it?"
I'd love to hear more about standing here with Renzo Piano and when he sort of began to talk about his ideas. Were they immediately embraced, or was there any part of you that said, "I don't quite get what you're proposing here"?
I don't remember that sound exactly, but we work in a university setting, an academic context, so nothing is ever immediately embraced. There's a lot of discussion, a lot of debate, a lot of argument. Although I can remember when we first walked in the courtyard with Renzo, and he looked up and he immediately said, "I can give you much better light than this." And as we all know, in a museum, light is your friend and your enemy. So light is essentially one of his materials.
We head up toward the source of that light, to the very top floor of the remodeled museum. It's fittingly called the Lightbox Gallery. From up here, you can look out across the steepled rooftops of Harvard and much of Cambridge. Even on a cloudy day, light pours in through Renzo Piano's glass and steel structure, lighting up the stone courtyard below and the adjacent galleries.
What we also like about the location of this is that the public can come up here, immerse themselves in our collections, but at the same time, they have sweeping views down into the courtyard, and also, not coincidentally, into the Strauss Center for Conservation. Most people don't know this, but this is really where art museum conservation and conservation science was born in the United States. So we think it's important because it makes clear that our collections are constantly being worked on by students, faculty, curators, researchers, scientists.
You've used the word at least a couple of times, this idea of transparency and openness. This gets to the mission of this museum, and of course, primarily, as you've mentioned, it's a research institution, it's for faculty, it's for students, but you've also made it clear that you want it to be open to the public. And I'm just curious how this renovation sort of serves that dual purpose.
What we don't want this new museum to be perceived as is a kind of static treasure house or a kind of closed academic bunker. The collections are too important and too big not for them to be made better use of. And if we can't do that, Harvard shouldn't have these collections. So what we like now is that there's much more cross-fertilization across the curatorial staff in terms of expertise and capabilities. So the way the collections have been reinstalled was really the result of a collaborative effort.
You know, I just wanted to remind people who might be listening to this, we always refer to the Harvard Art Museums, and of course there are three museums here, but it seems like this renovation, and you've expressed this really clearly, has really knit these three museums into one.
Ultimately, one of the big drivers was to get all three museums together in one location as one destination under one roof so they can actually begin to talk to one another. Historically, for a variety of reasons, they've been siloed. And if the curators aren't talking, the collections aren't talking. But now we've brought them all together, and I think people will be surprised by some of the adjacencies and juxtapositions that they see in this new building.
We talked to Sebastian Smee, who we adore, art critic for the Boston Globe,
and
he said this about the renovation here. Art is made from stuff that you can hold or touch. He said about this museum has brought back an almost connoisseur-like focus on actual objects, not at the expense of ideas and theories, but as their keel and rudder. I like that, and I wondered what your response was to that.
I think that's pretty accurate. I was actually a graduate student here in the early 80s, and during that time, you were either in the object camp or the theory camp, and there was no in between. You know, this is a museum that from its beginnings in the 1920s always placed a great deal of emphasis on the values and benefits of close looking, and by implication, close looking and thinking about original works of art.
The Art Study Center, a 5,000 square foot gallery or study area, is designed to encourage that idea of close looking at art. This room works a bit like a lending library. Students can come in and check out a piece of art and then just sit with it.
People can, in many ways, have an immersive experience with a work of art. I'm sure you've seen all of these studies from various sources about how long people spend before a work of art in a museum, gallery, and the answers are always, you know, somewhere between 10 and 20 seconds. Up here, people tend to spend an average of something like 43 minutes with a work of art. With one work of art. You have to always keep in mind that, especially in this kind of hyper-visual age, especially something as complex as a work of art, it doesn't reveal itself immediately. It reveals itself slowly, no matter how focused and how acute we think our perception is. So we like the notion of actually trying to slow people down, to slow down the tempo of learning.
A general question about the renovation. What's the test for you that it's ultimately successful? I mean, I get the feeling as you lead me through the museum today, you feel very good about it. But is there a test over time that sort of reveals a verdict that you're anxious to learn?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I've even thought about it in those terms, but I hope this doesn't sound corny, but I think the test for us will be if people actually can make a connection with a work of art and hopefully have some sort of transformative experience. Because when you think about art museums, they're sort of, you know, they're time and travel machines. You can go back in time, you can span the globe, you can look into the past, you can look forward into the future. So ultimately, they're the material embodiment, the physical embodiment of ideas and values and emotions and traditions, and they're powerful teaching and learning resources.
Thomas Lentz is the director of the Harvard Art Museums. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
It's my pleasure. We hope to see you here in the future.